for yesterday. For this week, we're going to go through a few pieces from here. As you'll see, it's fundamental stuff for Hashgacha. But as far as who we're talking about, it's hard to try and capsule form the Chazon Ish. I'll just share one thing I read yesterday. The Chazon Ish wasn't a wealthy man by any means. Although when he felt that the Torah requires that money should be donated for a cause, so the Chazon Ish could get told many gverim how much I've got more wealth than all these big guys with all the loot, because they've got a limit to how much they can get. The Chazon Ish said, I can tell, I need $20 million, $1 billion. If I ask somebody, you know, I get 10 of these guys to put it together, they'll do it. You know? He himself, he was, they weren't wealthy at all. They said the Chazon Ish told his last days was wearing the same hat that he wore when he got married. So he used to sell his svarim. He wrote svarim, many svarim. In every base measure, you'll find the svarim of Chazon Ish, Halacha, and Gemara. And that's how they got their parnasa. So on occasion, of course, you have situations of wealthy people who knew about the Chazon Ish and wanted to contribute to his parnasa. So there was Rav Lawrence, who writes this book. This one. book every home's going to have the English copy.
Is there an inspiration?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Lawrence was someone who was respected by every Knesset member. Haredi man being respected by a religious guy being respected by the whole array. Integrity and honesty was. So he writes this book. He tells us that he writes that his father came to the Chazon Ish. Then the Chazon Ish wanted to buy this for it. How much did they cost? So Lawrence is the father, Yaakov Lawrence. So the Chazon Ish's wife was there. She said, "Licht kostet teurer." Candles are expensive. So he said, "How?" So Yaakov said, "How much? A half a lira." Half a lira. I gather that a half a lira is about what we would call now 50 shekels. Gathering from the story, the exchange rate. Right? 50 shekels for a safe? So the Revitan says, Lich cost tire. Candles are expensive. So what? 1 lira? That's like 100 shekels for one safe. She said again, Lich cost tire. Totally got to 2 shekels, then she smiled.
Wait, 2 shekels? Or
two lira. What we're equating is 200 shekels. So this Rabbi Yaakov said, okay, good. So the Chazon Ish wrapped up all 9 for him. He asked for all the for him. He'd written 9 at that point. Chazon Ish wrapped him up nicely and sent him off. He paid what works out to be 18 lira, which is, from the story I'm gathering, it's about 1,800 shekels. I mean, each safer for 200 shekels. And 9 for it. So, this Rabbi Yaakov gets to his home in Tel Aviv and he sees sort of Shapiro, who's one of the Chazonish's gavoim. Rav Shapiro's dad is waiting by his door. So, and he says, the Chazon Ish didn't intend to tell him, you only need 1 safer. He wants to buy a safer. The Chazon Ish, start with 1. You don't need to take all 9. Huh? Start with 1. And the Chazon Ish says that a safer doesn't cost more than 35 krush, which I'm saying is like 35 shekels. Not a half a lira, which is 50 shekels. Not a whole lira. So he took back the 8 for him. And he said, here's the money. Rest of the money. The other ended up taking 35 shekels, effectively. So then this guy, this Rabbi Yaakov was like, what's going on, you know? So like, well, how come the Chazon Ish then took all, you know, all, he said, I was, my Rebbetzin, she doesn't, that's only Paranosa. So she doesn't like me to sell the Sforim for cheap, and she likes me to put up the price, and I'm the Chazon Ish, you know. So to make that Nachas Ruach for the Rebbetzin, that's why he went along, he wrapped up all the Sforim, and she felt good that he, you know, that, this is, that's one mice. Another case was that Gvir sent, also sent him a request to send him all the Sforim, and sent him the money. Chazon Ish sent back the money without sending any Sforim. And Chazon Ish said to him, he knew that this guy was trying to support the Chazon Ish. So he was doing it in a mechubad way by sending, asking for the Sforim. Chazon Ish writes back, I only sell to you know, operate and study and learning. Or to a base medrash, Torah ni, or he writes it, that's why I wanted to find you the Loshon. I only sell to Torah ni or to a base medrash, shul and base medrash. But gvirim who are nedivim, that means those kind hearted nedivim that are trying to give me, help me out in a clever, respectful way, I appreciate that very much, but I don't have. That's what you want to say. Appreciate. I mean, here you have a man who had a staff, he had a chair, he had a table. The whole world was affected by his decision. The whole of Israel, anyway. And so that was the integrity of the man. One little mitzvah out of many. The Chazon Ish was a person that you would find sitting in a room in a hospital with someone who's ill and doesn't have any family. He was aware that there's no one to visit him, and Rav Lawrence says, I came there one day to visit this guy, and who's sitting there? The Chazon Ish is sitting there. I'm sitting there. A whole trip on buses. Chazon Ish was his time. Okay, so that's one or two mitzvahs to begin to get a picture of who we're dealing with. I must tell you that until I bought this book, I knew the Chazon Ish was one of the daily. And I had tremendous respect for him. I heard, you know, I hear even the in our family, we've got a Hasidic side to our family. So I hear from them that, like, the Chazon Ish, they keep, you know, my mishpachi reminding the Chazon Ish said like that. He tells me the mice and the Chazon Ish. I see it is tremendously regarded. And I held, for me to hold, but I say I knew he was one of the Gedolim before the Bris Kerov, before. But since I've been reading this book and this one, I have completely different depth as to how much he was an Admoi. So here you write, here's a piece, the first piece. Very important point. Omru Chazal, so he says, this is a quote from different writings that the Chazon Ish wrote. He was a phenomenal Safar. His Sifrut was incredible. It's like reading Tanakh. So it's often difficult to, you have to read his writing three or four times. So the Chazon Ish, Chazal say, Gedoy the Talmud Torah Yoyser Me'atos Kafor. The Torah is even greater than saving lives. This Chazal is Gemara in Megillah, and it says there in Megillah, Vilmole David Oisek Bat Torah En Yoev Ala Tzava. If not that David, King David, was being Oisek Bat Torah, was learning. So Yoev, who was the general, the army general, the army wouldn't be managed. Ukshem She'avore Ha'odah Mishalt Milipul Oseyem, just like person's body breaks down into the limbs. The eye that sees, the ear that hears, the hands that are active. So too the whole nation is like one body with different limbs. The different people are different limbs. כן העם כולו הוא כגוף אחד ואישים נפרדים בו וכל איש צריך למלא תעודות. Each person has to know, am I a hand, am I an eye, am I an ear, what's my function? Says the Chazonish, ואם היו בני תורה המילים בתורה למיתוסו. If the bnei Torah, those that are sitting and learning, if they were omel in Torah, they were toiling in Torah, la mitoso, properly. It was the definition of la mitoso, emes. They were really properly being toiling in. Hoyu matzilim yeladim harbei v'anashim rabim. They would be saving many kids and many many people. Meirhu rei aveira ukfira ukayoytu bazir. They would be saving many people from hirurim of aveira and kfir, all kinds of crooked hashkofism that they are out there. There's nothing. Evolution, Darwin, all the good stuff. If people were sitting in this base medrash, that's what he's saying, no? In this base medrash, any base medrash, and we were sitting and learning in the proper way, we would be saving many people from kfir. It's an amazing thing. What, how? Says the Chazon Ish, b'shefa kodshom b'ishtapech ruach tahara bo'ilam, from the shefa of the Kedusha, whereby it is spilt into the world, into the atmosphere, a ruach tahara. I got such a chizuk from this. Sent me sitting down in the base medrash with that much more sort of determination to try to learn properly, learn with all one's koach and with all that it takes to be called learning Torah la'amitos, lishmo, Torah lishmo. I can be here learning in the right way if I'm learning in the way that the person, and I can affect somebody in Australia, in South Africa, in America. And so it was like, wow, that's an amazing thing. I don't know if that's a chisaron something in lishmo lemayim. At the end of the day, if you're holding this, and that's your problem, that you know why I'm learning, because I'm a shpia on the guys in Australia, you know, there's a few yidden in living in Perth, you know. So I don't know how much that's going to reduce from the ruach tahara that you are, you know. Says ubesvivo is bal Torah amiti, and he says the sviva of a real bal Torah. The sviva is the surroundings of a bal Torah amiti. Hadavar nikar leineinu, we can see with our eyes the tremendous hashpa that it has on so many people. That which all efforts, practical in the field, sort of effort, wouldn't be able to achieve. It's an amazing thing to be written by the Chazon Ish, because he came to B'nai Brak. B'nai Brak was one house with the Chazon Ish. He came there, he parked there, he said, okay, this is where we landed. He was the one. Simply a mokum Torah. Quietly. He was unknown, except that Reb Chaim Hoizer was one of the Gedolei HaDor in America, in Europe. Called and told, what did he tell? When the Chazon Ish came to Israel, they called the Briskarov, and he said to the Briskarov, you should know, a lion has come up from Europe. Because the Briskarov used to send shilas from Israel, the shilas were being sent to the Rechaim Oizer. Chazon Ish came to Israel, and the Rechaim Oizer writes to whoever it was, I don't know if it was the Briskarov, probably wasn't. But to someone here in Israel, one of the Lord is here, he said, don't send me shilas anymore. A lion has come up from Europe. From then on, the Chazon Ish didn't answer the shilas anymore. He said, go to the Chazon Ish, you don't need me. So, when the Chazon Ish came to B'nai Brak, what did he do? He knew it wasn't his place to be giving shiurim, you know, in Haifa and Tel Aviv and all that stuff. Good thing to do. I'm not saying it's not, and it's not appropriate for many of us to be doing it. It's a tremendous kiddush Hashem, etc. But this aspect of it, if you were the Chazon Ish, you would have no heter in the world to give up on there to go and makarov, go and move to Australia to be makarov. Imagine if the Chazon Ish had done that. Where would we be? There'd be a few more Yidden learning, keeping mitzvahs in Australia. Maybe a lot more, maybe another. Australia would look different. It would be that much more dati. But we wouldn't be here. That's all the Ashkoch of. Because he was the if there were 3-4 people learning to early Shema, probably. On that level of Amish, like Chazanish writes, it says when the Gedoy Le'ador are being poisek halacha, they are at that point when they are being ma'ayin in halacha, they are like malachi ashores. Mamish, they are like malachi. He writes about so he says in the surroundings, the area around the Baal Torah Amiti, it's recognized that you can see, we see Le'enu, the tremendous hashpa, the tremendous impression that it makes on the people around. That which any activity must see, any practical out in the field stuff would not be able to achieve. There are reshomim, the reshom is an impression. Impressions are being made on people on the far off Yidden. That the eye is unable to notice because of the fineness of that of those impressions. The things in the atmosphere you can't see. You look out there, you don't see radiation, for example. You can see the effects of it also, but you don't actually see it going through the air. That's what he says. Okay, so that's a major thought. This Chazon Ish, something that we know about, when I saw it here written in the Chazon Ish, in his writing, and so much more alive. If B'nai Torah were Omol in Torah La'amito, they would be pouring into the world a shefa of Kedusha, an abundance of Kedusha. A Ruach Tara would be poured into the Olam. And people would be saved. Yidden would be saved from falling off.
I do work into saying that actually some person is a hero with thinking about it. The fact that there are all the
threat.
How's it going to affect all the.
Well, we do see that we daven for Yerushalayim. We ask Hashem to help us in Ruchnis, not just in. So the same question is a general question. But this, in this point, you know, if you lived in the Beit HaMikdash, you got more chance of staying from than if you went far off, right? Because of the Kedusha, you couldn't. That's what it. Look at this. Says the person himself, right? That's why it says that you want to bring somebody back. Sit down and learn with him. Take out a Gemara and Baba Kama or whatever, and learn Baba Kama. Right? Why? Because ha'mo'or shebo machzirim lemuto. The oyer ha'torah is machzirim. What's going to happen to someone's bechira when he's standing at Har Sinai and he's seeing a first Baruch Hu speaks? What happens to bechira? Well, it makes it much easier to choose. It's not that Am Yisrael lost their bechira when they got to Har Sinai. If they had that flash, wow, it's crystal clear. And we've all had that experience, you know, when you're like, okay, I'm going to be the Chazon Ish, you know, right? That's it, right? No one's going to stop me. The next morning I wake up in like 5 more minutes, you know, just like yesterday morning, right? So the effect is there. The effect is there. There's
that much more. It's surrounding that. That's all that's easy to see how it happens. Because, effectively, how do you work it from? Mastering and learning and learning and getting stronger.
Practically, how does it work?
I guess.
No, that's a different question. how does it work? It's a reality, you see.
It's not necessarily, it's not, I mean, are you saying that it's going to save them from harm and different things like that, or is
that
going to save them
that,
from...
There's also that, it says that if it's a tzaddikim, that Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come to visit, he didn't come to visit one of the Tanoim HaMoroim because someone in the town was attacked by a lion, someone was killed by a lion. Eliyahu HaNavi didn't visit, you know, the Chaznish, Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come to the Chaznish on those. In that week, you know, because like, you know, how can somebody be, if you're here and you're holding where you're supposed to be,
yeah,
you know, Resh Lakish, whoever it might have been, right? So then, how can that guy be eaten by a lion? I mean, you fell short on that day. I don't speak to you, you know. Says Eliyahu HaNavi to the Amorim. So I just say, the hashkafa you're getting from this is that you have to realize when there's, When there's a war in Israel, when there's a war, you know, so it's like what you see in the front lines, you know, it seems like the planes were you know, the 67 war, 73. I mean, I just saw an article listing the numbers, you know, and then the numbers of tanks. I think it was in 73,
mm-hmm.
71. It was like I couldn't believe it. Like 800 Syrian tanks, 200 Israeli tanks. There's 600 Syrian and Jordanian planes, there's 300 or 150 Israeli planes. You know, I was like, what? You know, I didn't know that. You know, why didn't anyone tell me about that until now? You know, right? You know, so like, how did it happen? So in 67, Hashem gave us a creaming, right? I mean, we never thought, there also, the numbers were phenomenal. I mean, the numbers were phenomenal. There was just no way the Arabs were going to lose, if anyone's watched that in that documentary. Israelis made a documentary to see that they were so sure that it was going to be a what happened? So we were better fighters. And then after that, you think you're a better fighter, then comes the Yom Kippur War. Suddenly we are, you read the discussion between Moshe Dayan and Golda Meir. Right, you see, it just came out now. Right, they released some of it. I mean, you're like, they're really panicking, you know. That's when you start saying, you know, the emes is, what's the emes? You know, what's the emes? The Chazanish was sitting in the neighborhood, and he was holding up the world. And all of those that are around the world that were learning this type of limud ha-Torah, meinim ha-Torah la-Mitzvot, on them the world was standing.
Just one question. Sometimes this rule may not apply, though. As for example,
yeah, right,
the Holocaust or the destruction of the base of Megiddo, I'm sure there were many tzaddikim that could have got hold of the war.
Right. I mean, it does say that the Chofetz Chaim was nifter in 1933, because with him around, it couldn't have happened. You know, there was someone, there was another, there were three Gedolim. There were nifter in there, Reb Ochver, the Chofetz Chaim, and
yeah, but there's no generation without 39 tzaddikim as well.
I understand. I'm saying, listen, you have to understand, when you look at the Holocaust, and you look with hindsight, it was the greatest tzolah of Klal Yisrael.
100%, but I'm saying, that's why I said, the
right,
tzolah...
I'm saying, there's so many factors,
right,
that only Emperor's world can, at the end of the day, right? We know the factors that are at play. I'm sure that there was, right? There was something, there was that, like with the 10 Mart, the 10 Tanoim, that Rebbe Kiva and the Chavir, right? And the Malachim came into what's going on here. You know, like, this is a Zu Tzora, right? So Hashem said, keep quiet. Otherwise, the world's going back to. What does that mean? Malachim understand to a point. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. Ani Rishon, Ani Acharon. Hashem was before everything, He will be after everything. Only the Rishon and the Acharon is able to see from the highest point. Okay.